So I'm going to talk some this morning about ritual, and I'm going to talk some about some of the views about ritual as I understand them in Buddhism, and also some of the views that I've had in my present and in my past. So reflective meditation is ritual-like. Maybe it doesn't even have much ritual at all, although we do go through the same pattern of what we do together. And I think it goes easily with reflective meditation being a more secular approach to Buddhism. And also it goes with how Linda and I were trained in recollective awareness meditation, which easily fit with the family values I grew up with. Well, Linda is quite different. I was brought up in a Jewish but very secular household, and Linda was brought up in a devout Catholic family. And my mother was highly skeptical of ritual. And there was very little religious ritual, or maybe none, in my family life. Yes, we did go to synagogue on the high holidays, but it was more because that's just what you did, what you were supposed to do, what everybody did who was Jewish. The schools closed down and we went to synagogue. But it was more, I never felt a connection or a sense of meaning from that. Now, I know that you've all had your own experiences of spiritual religious ritual, and it has conditioned you in many ways. So I did as we tend to do. I went to look up some definitions, and I looked up definitions of ritual, and I came up with one that was called the modern definition, which was really interesting to me because it was my definition, how I think of it. I'm going to read it. But of course, I guess I'm just a modern person, right? I don't know the alternative actually, but here's the definition that was called the modern one. A formalized, predetermined set of symbolic actions generally performed in a particular environment at a regular, recurring intervals. Rituals can have a basic sociological function in expressing, inculcating, and reinforcing the shared values and beliefs of a society. So now I'm going to do something a little different than that. That's what we often do. But now I'm going to do something a little different than what I've done in the past, which is I'm going to read a little bit from the previous book that I wrote. It's called A Woman's Guide to Spiritual Renewal. It was published by Harper in 1994, but I'd been working on the book for a while before that. And I co-authored the book again. I like to do that sort of thing. With Carol Osmer Newhouse. I think she just goes by Carol Newhouse on the book. So, but what I'm doing is what I do. You know, I'm picking out the views or the paragraphs from the book that I still hold. And I'm not reading the sections of that chapter that I no longer subscribe to. And I want to give you a little background on this book. We divide it into, well, two main sections. There's sort of a previous one that comes before it, but the two main sections are healing spiritual alienation and seeking spiritual connection. And the section on ritual is in that section on seeking spiritual connection. And, you know, our view is very much about seeking spiritual connection in an authentic way. So you can see how that value, that view, it's carried into my teachings to this day. And, you know, that rituals best be authentic and serve to connect rather than to alienate. So I'm just going to read a few paragraphs. And this is under Developing Rituals in the subsection Childhood Ritual, Religious Ritual. Ritual are prescribed methods for spiritual practice. They are participatory events designed to open our minds and hearts to our spirituality. When a ritual works for us, the actions we take and the words we say feel compatible with our inner truths. we feel safe while performing the ritual. Spiritual rituals are as diverse as the people who perform them. Their effect on us can vary greatly. We may feel energized or comforted. Rituals can be used to bless, to heal, to protect, or to give thanks. And then I'm jumping down, another, skipping a paragraph, jumping down. Whether traditional or personal, ritual practice does demand a certain amount of trust. You learn to trust a ritual form in the same way you would trust a recipe, a dance, or a set of physical exercises. Those of us whose experience with ritual has been part of an oppressive religious experience may feel unsafe with ritual. We may need to start with a clean slate by discovering whether ritual has a place in our spirituality at all. We may want to invent our own rituals, discovering which elements further our spiritual connection and which do not. Some of us will find rituals of childhood spirituality that endure. By practicing them, we can open up a pathway to a spirituality we may have forgotten. So now jumping away from what I wrote about back in the 1990s to attachment to what some of what Buddhism says about rituals. Now, as you all probably know, most forms of Buddhism have a lot more ritual as part of the process than does reflective meditation. So it's not that ritual in its own right is considered a problem, but there is a fetter about rituals that is in Buddhism. And it refers to, and I'm lifting from something from the web, the attachment of people to rule, rituals, norms. Oh, rule, I might have, that doesn't even make sense. Ritual norms as well as values. People believe and follow ritual rules, rituals, norms, and values thoroughly without truly understanding the meaning behind such practices and rituals. Now, also this fetter of the rituals, or attachment to rituals, or sometimes it's called craving for rituals. The Buddha actually wrote in response to the Vedic religion that was happening at the time that he was teaching. And in this, there were extensive rituals that had all kinds of supernatural and protective value. And I lifted something else from the web, which is that this fetter is the erroneous belief that rites and rituals can have some kind of supernatural or magic effect, which is my understanding of when ritual is a fetter. So, or when we think that it's just about going through the motions, that that's enough. So really, when are rituals, really the question I'm posing throughout this Dharma talk is, when are rituals beneficial to you? And when do they become a fetter? So I'm going to go ahead and read from the very last paragraph of that section of my previous book, A Woman's Guide to Spiritual Renewal. Whatever your vehicle for connection, it is of paramount importance that you remain connected to yourself. Without this personal connection, extravagant rituals or captivating religious works of art will only serve to divert you from your path. Each spiritual experience should be grounded in a feeling of authenticity and integrity. Well, I could have written that today. I wish I would have written that. It was well written. I did write that, excuse me. I mean, I would write that today is what I really meant. So it's time for us to meditate. And of course,